Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and our listener lines are open for the first time, I guess, since yesterday. We'd love to hear from you. We want to hear from you at 844-322-2742, and the reason I was kind of going with that is because I wasn't here yesterday, but I am here today. So anyway, if you have a Bible question or if you're dealing with some difficult issue, let us hear from you. The number 844-322-2742. You can call right now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. So, Bob, today we have kind of a contrast in temperatures. 1 week ago, the overnight low was, what, 1 degree, I believe it was.
Yes.
Today, I came in at a 79 wonderful degrees. How about that?
That is an 80-degree change, and, boy, we sure like this 80-degree weather much better than the negative one.
Indeed.
It's more suited for Texas, more suited for us, so we are so grateful for that. This week and all of next month, month of March, we're going to be talking about, I think, one of the most exciting topics that we can talk about as far as Christianity is concerned. Now, when I mention it, it's going to sound dull and theological. It's the New Covenant.
Mm.
But when you dive into it and see it for what it is laid out in the Word of God, it becomes the most exciting thing that you've ever encountered, because this is where you live the fullness of life
right. In
Christ Jesus. Now, saying that there's a new covenant means that there was an old covenant. We know about that old covenant, the law, the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic covenant that was given to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai after the Exodus. So we read about that in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20 lays out the Ten Commandments, and then the rest of the five books of the law give us all the other rules and regulations and stipulations of that particular covenant. But that was a covenant that was given some 400 years after God's promise to Abraham that through his seed the world would be blessed. So that covenant, that Mosaic covenant, doesn't nullify the promise of God. Now, that promise of God has been made reality for you and me in this new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So all the promises that God made to Abraham have come true in the person of Christ Jesus. Now, a covenant, there are different types of covenants. The old covenant was more like a contract. So two different parties entered into that. So
right. There
was God, and of course he was faithful to carry out his end of the bargain, and then there were the people of Israel. And that covenant was ratified through the sprinkling of blood. When God proposed it to the people said, all that you have commanded, we will do. Blood was sprinkled, and that ratified that covenant. Well, it wasn't too long thereafter, maybe 3 weeks, that the people of Israel were fashioning a golden calf
right. And
bowing down and worshiping it. So it didn't take very long for them to break the terms of that covenant. But this new covenant is a different type of covenant. It's not between two parties. It's more like a will. As a matter of fact, it is God's will for you and me. So God made a declaration, and we are simply beneficiaries of that declaration. So we receive what God has left for us in Christ Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection. So if it's a will, when does a will go into effect? Well, when the one who made it died. And that's the passage we're going to look at today, Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. So here's the language of a will. So, Bob Davis, you have a will, and you have outlined what's going to happen to your assets upon your death. And nobody has any play into that, how you decided. That's just your decision, isn't it?
Yes.
And so when you die, when you pass away, and an attorney reads the will, then folks will know exactly how you laid that out, and they're going to be surprised and blessed and encouraged and all of those sort of things. Well, that's exactly what God did. He laid out something for us that was going to be made available to us at the death of Jesus Christ. So we have this promised eternal inheritance now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Now, in the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. Now, many people wonder, you know, what's the point of including the burial of Jesus Christ in the gospel story? Why can't we just say Christ was crucified, then he was resurrected, and then he ascended? Well, it goes into this particular verse. It is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it. Well, burial is proof of death. So when Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body down from the cross and buried it in a borrowed tomb in a garden very close by, that was proof of death. Everybody knew at that point that Jesus of Nazareth had died. When he said, "It is finished," and breathed his last, that was death. That was death of his physical body. They put that physical body in the grave. So that was proof. Now, that death, that proof, ratified this new covenant. Jesus Christ put an end to the old covenant. He fulfilled it in its entirety. When he said, "It is finished," that's what he was talking about. And then he ushered in a brand new covenant. And it's in this covenant that we experience our new life in Christ Jesus. That old covenant was a ministry of death. This new covenant is a ministry of life. That old covenant was a ministry with laws written on tablets of stone. This new covenant is a ministry of the Spirit who lives in us and leads us as children of God. It's a huge difference. And boy, once we grab a hold of that contrast and recognize that we're new covenant believers, everything starts to fall into place.
It's all good news. And Bob, thank you for sharing it. Friends, thank you for being with us today for this edition of Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. The line is wide open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Give us a call if you have some Bible question, if you have a life issue you're trying to work through. Well, we'd love to discuss it with you right now on Basic Gospel. Once again, 844-322-2742. And friends, here at Basic Gospel, our purpose could not be fulfilled without your help, the help of you, our donors. And to say thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we want to send you a copy of a Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey that will help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bob, tell our listeners how they will benefit through this study.
Well, this is just a fabulous study. We put it together a number of years ago, and everything that you need to know about God, about Jesus Christ, about his finished work, about who you are, about the blessings that you have are contained in this new covenant. And so we built this study with the new covenant being the umbrella. So everything falls underneath that umbrella.
Literally.
Of this new covenant.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So if you really want to understand what it means to be in Christ, if you really want to understand what it means to live the abundant life and live it to the full, then this is the study for you. It takes you deep into the Word of God, those foundational truths that become the foundation of every other aspect of life. So don't pass up this opportunity to get this wonderful resource. It is going to be a fabulous blessing in your life. I mean, every single passage of Scripture that you that this study will take you through is a passage that you'll want to underline and go back to time and time and time again.
It's called the New Covenant Journey, and that's exactly what it is. And so, friends, for those of you who support Basic Gospel with your gifts through the rest of this month, well, we'll send you a copy of this brand new, actually, it's an old, but it's really a vintage product, I think
yes.
you would say. It's
yes.
called the New Covenant Journey, and we encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity to get your copy. You can do that by going online right now to basicgospel.net and just make your gift, and we would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Again, that would be basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had a call come in offline, but our off hours, but we're going to right now tell the phone number one more time, 844-322-2742. Friends, we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742.
Hi, my question is, how do you know when you really hear God's voice? You know, you read in the Gospels and with the disciples and several people in the Bible trying to listen to God's voice, and they hear something and they do it, but, I mean, I'm trying to figure that out for myself and how to do that. Thanks.
Well, that's an excellent question, and we do want to hear God's voice. We especially want to hear God's voice when we have pressing decisions that we're trying to make. God, which way should I go? What should I choose? What direction or path should I follow in a particular situation? But I think we need to step back first and foremost and see exactly how does God speak to us, and what is the message that he is sending to us? Now, the message of the Bible is the message concerning Christ Jesus. It is God's testimony concerning his Son. So first and foremost, if God's going to be speaking to us, he's going to be speaking to us about Jesus Christ and about what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Because everything that we're longing for, the very depths of who we are answered in Jesus.
Right.
So we have this sense of guilt, this sense of fear, this sense of fear of punishment. We have this sense of shame, and we want to find an answer for that. We want to be cleansed of those sort of things. Well, that's why God speaks very clearly about the crucifixion of Christ Jesus, the fact that Christ died for our sins. Why? Because that's the answer to those needs deep within us.
Yeah.
All of us have this sense of emptiness, this sense of, you know, something's just not quite right, that something is missing as far as our lives are concerned. Well, what is that? Well, it's Christ himself. God created us to be in relationship with God. Well, when sin entered in, that relationship was broken. But now, through Christ Jesus, it's restored. And it's restored really in a miraculous way, in a sense that God comes to live inside of us. So that thing that was missing is no longer missing. Why? Because Jesus has come and occupied that space. We're all looking for identity. We want a sense of who we are. That's one of the big three questions. Who are we? And we're not going to rest until we find an answer to that question. Well, the world has lots of answers to that question, but they're not lasting. They don't last very long. We need something that is going to endure, something that is going to be unshakable. It's going to be a solid foundation for us now and eternally. Well, that's an identity that God has given us in Christ Jesus. We're called children of God. So God wants us to hear the message concerning Christ. So he's going to do everything through his Spirit to get that message to our spiritual ears so that it can sink down into these hearts of ours. We can believe it and then live that out in everyday life. Well, once that's established, once we know who Jesus is, once we know what he's accomplished for us, once we are resting in that, once we know who we are, then we can start really tapping into his wisdom concerning the decisions that are before us.
Yeah.
And what we're going to discover is there are a lot of decisions that we have in life that we have ultimate freedom on which way to decide.
Sure. Yeah.
So we don't have to really hear a voice of God to move us in this direction or that direction. we can just make a decision. If it's not something that is fleshly motivated, it's not something that's going to gratify a desire of the flesh, but it's in line with who we are as children of God, that we are able to walk by faith, we are anchored in hope, we can love people in the midst of that, then whatever way we go is going to be a good decision.
Right.
So let's get back to kind of the basics of what Christ is communicating to us. And what he's communicating to us is the fact that we've been cleansed, that we've been made righteous, that we have a new identity, that we're fully alive, that he's fully alive in us, and that we are within the will of God. We're in the new covenant. And being in that new covenant, we're always in the will of God, the perfect will of God. And knowing that can ease our minds and really help us make decisions objectively based on what we're learning out of the Word of God.
Ma'am, thank you for your question. Hope that's a help to you. Don't hesitate to reach out again if you have further questions. Again, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yvette is watching us on our YouTube video feed. And Yvette, hi, and we're certainly glad you are watching today. You have two questions. Should Christian women cover their heads when you pray? And, well, I don't think that's a necessity. If it were the case, there would be a lot of women out there that were in deep sin because they're not doing that. I think what God is saying to us there is giving us a principle of humility. And God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. In Corinth, back in those days, there was a temple. It was a temple where prostitutes would come down from the mountainside where that particular temple was built. They would come into the city, and they would lead men up into that temple. Now, they had, to distinguish themselves, they shaved their heads.
Yeah.
Well, when Paul brought the gospel message into Corinth, many of those women heard the message and they received the Lord. And so it was a practical thing back in the days of Corinth. But the principle is all about humility, that we want to pray, both men and women, with a sense of humility. And we see that through the Word of God. Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 2, have this same attitude in you that was in Christ Jesus. And then the rest of the passage is all about the humility of Christ Jesus. So yeah. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. And then her second question, Bob, was this: is our name already written in the book of life, those that will be saved? Well, certainly God knows who's going to respond. But we know this, once we do respond, that our name is in there and it's in there forever.
Yeah.
And it will never be blotted out. That's the good news. That's assurance of salvation.
Without question. Well, once again, friends, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. We had this question from an anonymous writer, and I think it's a very good one. He says, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, but there's a problem. Rather than loving God, I'm sometimes afraid of him, and it's tiring for me. How can I love him more as my father than as a judge?
Well, that's a great question, and I think so many people kind of find themselves in that same boat. And it gets back to the cross of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus died for our sins. So you have to come to the point and recognize that Jesus died for your sins. So the reason you're afraid of him is because you're afraid of punishment. And the Bible is very clear on that. And he says the perfect love of God will cast out that fear, because fear has to do with punishment. You're afraid that you're going to be punished for sins that you have committed in the past. I lived quite a number of years with that fear, walking on spiritual eggshells. Well, it wasn't until I realized that Christ forgave all of my sins that fear went away. So if you want to love God more, you're going to have to rest in his love for you, that love that was demonstrated for you at the cross. God demonstrated that love, that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. So God already did something with your sins even before you knew him. So you have to recognize that and rejoice in that and give thanks as a result of that. So as you rest in that finished work of Jesus Christ, you're going to find that fear of punishment starting to diminish, and you're going to see this love for God starting to grow deep within inside of you.
Absolutely. Well, great to hear from this particular writer, and again, great question, and I hope that this answer has been a help to you. And reach out again if you have further questions. There is a phrase that's out there. It's called "like sheep to the slaughter." Curtis wants to know: is this referring to Christians?
Well, I think Paul refers to that in Romans chapter 8, when he's talking about his ministry and his experiences in ministry. And he was like a sheep being led to slaughter. So that's how he uses that particular phrase. But in the middle of it, he recognized that nothing could separate him from the love of Christ Jesus. So his question, 35 in Romans 8, was this: who shall separate us from the love of God? Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. So that's how the world looked at the Apostle Paul. They didn't appreciate his ministry. As a matter of fact, they rose up in opposition against him, and wherever he went, he faced all kinds of trials and tribulations. He faced persecution, he faced famine, he faced the sword, he was lashed 5 times, 39 lashes each time, 195 total that Paul endured just for the sake of getting the gospel out to the Gentile world. So he knew what it was like to be regarded as a sheep being led to slaughter. Yet he never wavered in the fact that God loved him and that none of that could separate him from the love of God. And he went on to say this in verse 37, no, and all these things. What was he talking about? Tribulation, distress, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword. And all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Yeah.
That's the good news. And I think that's where God leads all of us in our lives. I mean, that's part of this work of the Spirit inside of us, where we can become convinced of the same thing that Paul was convinced of, that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. That's when our foundation is so secure and rock solid, and that's when our assurance is soaring at its highest, not because of anything that we've done, but because of the work of the God's Spirit in and through us to connect us to the love of Christ in such a way that we know it will never, ever leave us.
Absolutely. I think we have time to squeeze in this question from Jennifer. She would like to know, how is guilt different from repentance?
Well, guilt can be a feeling, but guilt can also be a reality. If you've violated or you committed a crime and evidence was presented in a court of law and they found you guilty, they're saying that you actually did the crime.
Yes.
Well, we are actually guilty of sin. Well, how are we going to overcome that? How are we going to make ourselves right with God? Well, we can't do it through human effort. We can't do it through obedience to the law. We've already shown that we weren't obedient to the law,
yeah,
that we were sinners. So how do we get out from underneath that burden of guilt? Well, it's through a change of mind, right? Recognizing that Jesus died in our place. So we change our mind, change our thinking concerning Jesus and what he's accomplished, and that liberates us from the burden of guilt that we were under.
Jennifer, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis saying so long from Carrollton with a reminder that if you have a question overnight, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. I'm from Carrollton. We're in Louisville, so little clarification there. But we'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.